Hey, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Oh, watch. Okay. Head on here over into the observation area.
Okay.
Yeah. As you know, I have made some kind of Faustian deal. And, you know, I love Jurassic Park. I love Jurassic Park.
As do I.
It is like the theme song. I've said this before, and I've said it as a joke, but it's almost true. Like, I don't usually have a very emotional response to music. Mm-hmm. The song that I have the biggest emotional response to in music is the theme song of Jurassic Park. Like, it is like that. It's just like, oh, man, dinosaurs. Like, big, beautiful creatures. So, this Faustian deal, we are here in Jurassic Park.
Oh, no.
And, as you know, people are bored with dinosaurs. They want bigger and better. This park cost a lot of money. Bryce Dallas Howard tells me it cost a lot of money to keep running. So we've created a dinosaur. Aaron, and you can see kind of in the pen, you can see her.
Oh, look at her
go. Kind of hiding out over there. Yeah, just kind of staring at us hungrily, walking back, pacing back and forth, rubbing a fork and a knife together.
Is she whispering soon, soon?
I think she is in her language. She actually speaks, and by her language, I mean French. So we've been splicing DNA into the dinosaur. So this one's like a little bit of raptor, a little bit of tree frog.
A little bit country.
A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. You know, a little bit Frenchman. We want this one to have the ability to think and reason. So we gave it human DNA, but we have to go through. I want to take you to the lab real quick. I'm going to leave her here and just hope. And then we'll go to the lab real quick. I want to show you how we make these dinosaurs.
Okay, cool. I'm along for the ride.
And let me boot up the program here.
Oh, this is Linux. And I know this.
Yeah. And you just run bertdinos.exe. And here's the program we use to make our dinosaurs.
That's all there is. I can't give it a full fuck.
Yeah. And now the dinosaur is being Jurassic Parked. Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross,
and this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play the bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to us? So this is Bert's Dinosaurs, and this was recommended by Sam Bear.
This is part of DOS Storm USA.
Yep. And the note on this that he attached in the submission form was recommending this based entirely on the first 10 seconds of the game. If he went beyond the first 10 seconds, he would know it's not a game.
He would know that there isn't anything beyond the first 10 seconds of the game.
Right.
Like, you more or less get it. Like, pretty quick. This is a coloring program.
Yep, it is.
It's not a game. We should probably make a part of the rules that we don't just do software.
Yeah.
Because people are just going to start giving us day planners and fucking, like, early versions of DOS Shell. Uh-huh. To review for this, and I don't know how we're gonna do that.
Nope. So here's the thing, I knew that this is what it was. I wanted it to be the first and only.
This is a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
For us and for people suggesting things. Mm-hmm. That this should probably be a game. Not to give Sam too much shit, because we love Sam and his contributions, but like, I spent more time getting this game to work than I did playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the emulator doesn't work on archive.org anymore, so I had to like download DOSBox.
Yeah, which is a nightmare.
Mount the drive and do all that shit. I mean, it's like, you do it, it's fine. And like, I used to have DOSBox anyway because I like DOSBox.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that involves mounting a drive and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And then once I actually got in, I'm like, oh, this is a thing where you can like populate a scene or make a little scene out of four, pop a dino in there, draw and color. And that's what you can do with Bert's Dinosaurs.
Yes. So this is a more constrained kid's picks.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a series of the Bert line.
Yeah. Bert's African Animals.
Yeah.
Yep.
That seems a little racist to me.
Bert's Christmas.
You know, I think. Yeah. Caveman and Dinosaurs. I think. Yeah. There's a couple of different sets, mm-hmm, of these Bert games. But this one is Dinosaurs, and like, if we had been suggested Bert's African Animals, mm-hmm, I feel like we would have had to have re-rolled.
Yes.
Because dinosaurs are fun to talk about.
Oh, of course they are.
But I can't spend a half hour talking about a zebra. Like, I don't have that much to say about them.
Neither do I.
Like they're fine.
Yeah.
Their nature's fine. Like, they're fine.
Like, zebras, nature's fine.
Yeah, they're adequate. Like,
it makes it sound like you're like one step away from nature's fine.
Like, yeah, nature's fine piece of ass.
Swing.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't fuck a horse, but that's a zebra.
Yeah. Well, no, Mr. Ed was a zebra. On Black and White, they look the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I would fuck Mr. Ed because he's sentient and it's not abuse. So
he can say yes.
Yeah, you put enough peanut butter in his mouth, he'll tell you whatever you want. So, like, whatever the guy hiding behind him wants him to say.
That's like me with whiskey.
You will work.
All right, I'm going to release a patch to my Skyrim mod.
I want to redub Mr. Edward, just literally, just like, I don't know why that's so funny, because that show, like, you know this show because you're a Nick at Night boy.
Oh yeah.
Like, the kind of, if I remember from like the 1.5 episode that I've seen, they just get into wacky hijinks where he has to hide that the horse is talking,
right?
And there are a lot of Cyrano de Bergerac situations,
mm-hmm,
where like the horse tells him what to say.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be like, I, you know, good thing Mr. Ed has memorized this poem. I don't know if Shelley's gonna go out with me if I don't read the poem right. And then he's talking to Shelley, and Mr. Ed is in the bushes, and he's just like, "What? You are as beautiful as a And then Mr. Ed's like, "Suck my dick, Wilbur." He's like, "Oh shit!" Like, excuse me, Mr. Ed.
See, the fundamental flaw in the concept of Mr. Ed isn't that the dinosaur. Okay, let's table that for now.
That'd be a good,
okay, good spinoff, like a reboot, like a Dark and Green reboot. So the premise isn't, the flaw isn't that he can talk, it's that Mr. Ed has what is effectively a human mind.
Yeah.
So a horse with the ability to talk that can manifest horse thoughts would just be saying apples, oats, run, fuck.
Yeah. Which, I mean, would still be more interesting, though, because this is, Mr. Ed just ends up being the story of a human with a terrible, debilitating, like, condition.
Yes, horsism.
Yeah, it's essentially the squid and the butterfly or whatever. Or whatever
he got bit by a werehorse. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that I have no mouth and I must scream situation.
Yeah.
For a person.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, his hoarseness is not important.
No.
Other than the fact that he's got like a 17-foot dick. So, yeah, because horse penis is disgusting.
Ugh, man.
Yeah.
But anyway. It would be great to redub that. I would love to recharacterize Mr. Ed as a BDSM fuck slave.
Yeah,
just incredibly raunchy.
Yeah. Just like, whisper in your ear, Wilbur.
I'm a jizz mop, Wilbur.
Yeah. I'm going to use my mouth like a pleasure mop. Stick a carrot in my butt.
Gary, this is a new low. All right. How do we get to Mr. Ed? I forget. Where are we at?
I
what show is this? What's your name?
Let's go back to dinosaurs.
Let's
go back to dinosaurs.
Post haste.
Yeah.
So this is a very basic paint program insofar as you pick a background and you have a bunch of dinosaur decals, mm-hmm. and you can pick kind of a fill color. The only time it really gets interesting for a 27-year-old man is the fact that you can make the background a school, like one of the built-in is like a school building.
Yeah.
And so I, like any right-thinking man, made a picture of a dinosaur skateboarding away from school with some sunglasses on, and you have the option to put in a story, which doesn't show up on the picture but will show up if you print it out on your dot matrix, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or if you just click story. The school thing is a nice little nod to the kids.
Yeah.
Like, you kids, you want to have dinosaurs doing something to your school. and you can do Dinosaur All-Star in this, my favorite dinosaur, the Triceratops.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad that he's an option. Like, anytime Triceratops doesn't get a representation, I get bummed out.
Yep, so. I like the Brachiosaur. The Brachiosaur is pretty cool. It's very tall.
I think if I was going to hang out with the dinosaur...
Mm-hmm.
I would choose one of those like peaceful plant eating, you know, huge dinosaurs. I think Triceratops are like having a pleasing, you know, symmetry to their face, like this, the power of three, you know?
But I think a Brachiosaur would be both easier and more fun to ride. I think that, you know, you start out on his back, and, you know, as he gets used to you, eventually he's going to let you sit on top of his head and you get to, you know, see all of creation.
Yeah. Yeah. Eventually, there's something like, I like Brachiosaur. They also have a real small head though. I like how they're kind of goofy looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very goofy looking dinosaur.
Yeah.
It's not like a Dignity dinosaur.
No.
You know? Like it has Dignity the same way like a cow does.
Yeah.
Which is none.
I think the cows have plenty of Dignity. There's a placidness to them. There's placidness and contentment.
Yeah, there's tons of placidness. They're just dumb animals. Like they're real dumb animals. Have I talked to you, or have I told you about on Twitter, I found a video that was like Werner Herzog talking about chickens. Did I tell you about that?
No.
It's literally, I don't know what it's from, but like it has production. So it's a little like, you know, graphic at the lower left of the screen. It's like Werner Herzog on chickens. And it's 40 seconds of him saying like, if the chicken is the stupidest animal, if you look at a chicken's eye, there is a profound stupidity. You will see nothing there. Everyone should do this just to look into a void of a worthless creature. And like, it's just like bad talking chickens on like a metaphysical level, like on this, you know, deeply, deeply insulting chickens.
Because we bred them to be that way. Fun. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're real dumb, but I feel the same way about cows. Like cows are very dumb. Yeah. They can be kind of cute, but they're very dumb. And they also have gross mouths.
I think. Oh yeah. Yeah. I would hesitate to find an animal with a pleasant mouth, actually.
Well, that's why you got Cole Ross with hot mouth.
As we know, I forgot about that.
Like, yeah.
When did we establish that I had a hot mouth?
on a stream on a live stream.
Oh yeah, with my janked up teeth. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Humans have okay mouths. I don't know, cats and dogs have okay mouths.
Yeah.
Most of them. You know, birds have that shit sealed up tight.
Whenever chitin's involved.
Yeah. It's just how wet it is. Like the cow's mouth is just like a bunch of inside out lip. It's like the inside of another creature's mouth is the outside of their mouth.
Yeah.
Too wet.
too wet, says Gary.
Yeah. So that's my hot take on. Hey, listen, to all those cow mouths out there, why don't you try stop not being wet and start actually saluting the flag for once and knowing what your country is about? Put a fucking dab on your mouth and straighten up, or else, you know, I'm not afraid of you.
Is that like a Dennis Miller rant?
That's my Dennis Miller in the style of a Deagle. Deagle Miller.
It's going to be really hard for us not to reference that when we record with Allison. We're doing this a little bit out of order. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's true.
When you select different things, there is a little kid, which I imagine the Gary, this little kid saying dinosaur names must just be nails on a chalkboard for you.
It's pretty rough. it is. He's a very. It's very much like the Radiolab kid. It's very much a little kid voice, like no.
Brachiosaur.
But it's also like really, really bad audio quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so much background hiss.
Yep, and they're also cutting it off like mid syllable too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, the production values on Bert's Dinosaur are fucking through the floor.
It's almost like this was made very quickly to sell to educational settings.
Yeah. And made entirely for kids.
I was about to say, like, this is something you would find in Sunday school, but no, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, not at all.
We had something similar to this in my kindergarten class that was like a Sesame Street coloring book, and that actually had like clips of the characters talking.
Well, then there's also the famous NES Color a Dinosaur.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So that's another classic dinosaur coloring in this subgenre.
So Gary, what if I told you I had kind of a mild Crick-esque surprise?
I want to hear it, because I looked around a little bit. I didn't do tons of research on this and couldn't find a lot about it. And that's the problem with these DOS games, right?
Yeah.
Like, unless you actually, there's a story behind the person who made it. Like, all I knew is that he did a bunch of different ones of these. And then somebody has on their Flickr account a Bert's dinosaur drawing, and it's like a 40-year-old woman who's like, I can't be the only one who remembers these, right? Right? And then that's the caption, that's it. So, like, then that scream into the void, the depressing scream in the void, it'll like lull you to sleep tonight. But that's all I know. That's all I got.
All right. So, if you look in the credits on this game, or like it's a contact or like buy more, you know, it was so quaint in the DOS days because if you wanted to buy more of these, you would just send a self-addressed stamped envelope or whatever to the creator. But the man who made Bert's Dinosaurs, and I assume the other Bert's games, is a guy named Theron Wierenga.
Okay.
Okay.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And very little exists of him that you can see outside of a paywall. He wrote some articles for a blog called, or a magazine called, I think, like Nuts and Bits. So he's a computer programmer. He does computer maths. But if you look at a picture of him, he looks like a chemistry teacher circa, let's say, 1985. Like, he's got a glorious mustache and what I can only construe as, and I don't say this to slander him, but like, I call them pedophile glasses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has a credit to his name, which solidifies him not just in appearance, but also in subject matter of like his expertise as the most boring man alive. There's a book on Amazon that he authored that is called United States Incoming Steamship Mail, 1847 through 1875, second edition, by Theron J. Wierenga.
I can't actually find this guy's name because I can't spell it.
Well, no, because I think he might be some kind of visiting outsider. It is Theron Wierenga.
Okay.
So I think that he got in on this DOS coloring book game to pad the bills as he was diligently photographing and scanning different steamships that delivered mail to and from the United States, and also the various seals, insignias, emblems, and other such miscellanea associated with delivering post by steam.
Have you seen his entire canon? Like all the other books by him?
No, this is the only one that I've seen.
Nope. If you search his name on Amazon, you find a lot of books by this person. And they're all pretty, pretty good. List of post offices in the United States, 1862. Okay. List of post offices and postal laws and regulations, 1857.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Pratt's United States Post Office Directory, 1850. What a niche.
This guy is the lots and lots of trains as a, like, if it manifested as a person.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to find somebody who's said anything about any of these books. So this one has a rating, and there's one review, 5 stars. Excellent book for the United States Incoming Steamship Mail, 1847 to 1875, second edition.
Yep.
Part of the U.S. Philatelic Classic Society. What is a philatelic classic?
Is it related to like philately, like the collection of stamps or the study?
That's got to be it. Yeah.
I mean, they share a root anyway.
So I would make sense. That would make sense for this guy to be a stamp collector. So that's who published this book.
Uh huh.
Is this stamp thing? So that's why the incoming mail is so important and all this post office shit.
Uh huh.
He's a stamp hound.
Yeah.
He's a stamp boy.
He's a Stampy. He's wandering the streets.
He's Stampy, bringing it all back down to dinosaurs.
Yeah. An elephant's not a dinosaur.
It's pretty close.
It's closer than I am to a dinosaur.
and it always will be.
I mean, I'd like to see you dinosaur better than Stampy the elephant.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty close. Let's see if he has a profile page.
I couldn't find one. He's got a LinkedIn, and he hasn't accepted my request yet.
So on Facebook, on the USS Philatelic Classic Society, there's a page for that book that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So he's involved. Let's go to his date. Yeah, it's just all of the things on the website are just about his book.
Yeah.
So they're referencing his book, but it's not like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's an acting member.
Yeah. There's his profile picture. He apparently loves his golden retriever very much.
Okay.
Like, this was changed in 2011. I feel so bad peeking into these people's lives, and he's got his CRT TV.
This guy,
in the
other guy, like, I was happy to, yeah, to peek at that guy's life because he, yeah, was a shithead.
Yeah. But this guy, like, the worst you can say about him is he is fixated on things that are entirely alien to me.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like my girlfriend's dad a little bit. He looks a little bit like Carl. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is.
Yeah. He loves stamps. He loves coloring programs.
Yeah. So
I guess everyone's got to make a living.
Oh, definitely. No, yeah. Like, that's like, if he is doing what he loves, then more power to him. Like, that is totally the case. It's just such a.
Yeah. You don't get into philatelics as like a profession if you don't love it.
I don't know. Like, I've seen some of the figures. You know what those guys make on their Patreons?
Maybe a fun Patreon. You get like special stamps.
Oh no, they don't give the stamps away. They give away prints.
Okay.
Yeah.
But or they would make custom stamps. Like, they wouldn't give you like,
oh,
here's,
yeah,
an 1847 ball buster, like whatever the classifications of good stamps are.
Yeah.
But like, it is like every time I see something like that, like a subset, you know, a Weird Society thing.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a cat show and it made me think of this. And there's like the judge and he's holding up a cat, like looking at it and everything. And it is weird to me that somebody is like, this cat is good. This cat is bad. You know, and like the same thing with stamps. Like, it's hard for me to imagine, like, here are two stamps. Like, this stamp is good stamp. This stamp is a bad stamp. This stamp is desirable. Yeah, mediocre. This stamp is perfect in every way. And this stamp is mediocre. You know, but like, this stamp should be in a museum and people should line up or pay money to see this stamp. Mm-hmm. This stamp over here is garbage and you should only use it to mail a letter. Like, it's so weird to me that there are levels of qualitative appreciation in things from literally like every size, you know, in every scale.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how shitty and inconsequential something is, there's someone holding up and being like, this is a good version of this. This other one over here is a bad version of this.
And what's funny is, like, you know? looking at stuff like that puts me, you know, at least a little bit closer. It gives me empathy for the people who, when I tell them, like, I spend job numbers of hours every week talking about whether or not video games are good or bad or what makes them special. And they're like, I'm, yeah, sorry, what? Like,
yeah, to them,
I get a,
like,
little bit of insight
holding
into
up
it.
And being,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, this video game is good.
Yep.
This video game is bad. And to them, it's just like, oh, they're all just stupid fucking video games.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to resist the urge to be like, but our thing is real, which is my instinct, though, because it's like, mine's art. And it's like, well, you know, I guess if you want to say that stamps are art, I won't put you in jail for it, you know, but it's
not until you have the constitutional authority.
Yeah, exactly. If I ever get the power, that hopefully I do in this post 9/11 world, now that I have taken upon myself to really let my mind be shown in a world of political correctness, I don't go in for that shit.
Yeah.
It's time for the rebuttal field.
Yeah, the rebuttal field. No. If the rebuttal field becomes a podcast, you have to have one of those intros that's like you're breaking into a, like a, like you're like a pirate transmission. That's like, yeah, just, yeah, like a little song. It's like, we have taken control of the entire
width. Yeah, do not adjust your iPod.
And you are about to receive an injection of truth. Ba-ba-ba-bo, the rebutter field. Wah, 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 wah.
Moon landing? I don't think so.
Gary, you're making me cough. Yeah, that's that's what that has to be. You have to have the pirate radio.
Vaccines
intro.
Don't not cause autism. Bam!
R-O-C-K-O-U-S-A. Yep.
It's a shame that the government killed John Lennon. What, a little bit too much truthy for you? It's all, I just use reggaeton like sounds. John Lennon killed by the government.
I thought this was going to be the episode where we talked about the game bus, which
no,
is fortunate
Super game
because
bus can stay in the back. Yeah, but stay in the back pocket.
Their website is down. I don't think they're paid up on their bill.
Oh, I was just looking at it. Super Game Busted, by the way.
No. It must still be alive.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I was just looking at it earlier today. Oh, there's a YouTube that's a tour of the Super Game Bus, though.
Ooh.
Oh, and there's a Game Truck.
Yep.
Oh, that one's down too. I think it's the same website.
No, Game Truck is up. Like, Game Truck is definitely, they're more up to date. They've got kind of what appears to be a bootstrappy Squarespace kind of design.
Okay.
Yeah, Game Truck's a little bit more extreme. I would characterize Game Bus, or Super Game Bus rather, as being a little bit more family friendly.
Yeah, Super Game Bus will come to .com 2016. This tour of the Super Game Bus is really pathetic. So what have we learned today?
Well, I think that Theron would be on the Crick side. I don't know that he would contribute much to the great battle in the sky, but he's too innocuous. I think that he might be very good at kind of optimizing, especially if we are in a post kind of society. If, you know, someone with his very specialized knowledge of how to get things from place to place would be very useful to our cause.
Yeah, he could be like the comptroller for our size or something like that. Like, he's just something like a very bland officiary, but nonetheless, you know, necessary.
But effective. Like, you can't disrespect him.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think he's on the good side.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get some more people on the good side.
Yeah.
Speaking of powerful allies, we're coming up on episode 100.
Yeah. And you guys who have stuck around, any of you, for any amount of time, this is an important milestone for us. We're really happy that we're able to get to it.
Yeah, we like big round numbers. It seems at first a little weird that Abject Suffering is getting to episode 100 so soon after Watch Out for Fireballs. But Watch Out for Fireballs is actually on episode, like, 200.
Yeah.
Technically, because we put out the off-week episodes. Mm-hmm. So episode 100, and we're doing something special for it. It might be a little bit longer of an episode, which you'll like. But we will. Should we announce what it is, or should we let it be a surprise?
Oh, no, we should. I think we totally should. Okay. Because I want people to get in, because it's so big that I don't know that anybody would be able to play at all.
Yep. Yeah. And that game is
Action 52 for the NES.
Action 52.
What was the game you said?
Daggerfall.
Okay.
Because you said it was so big that no one could play it. It's like, yep, we're gonna fully explore the like 17 cubic earths that make up Daggerfall.
Yeah.
No, Action 52, infamously bad game. You know, we needed to do something that was one of the Holy Grails. So this was something that was suggested at some point, I'm sure, by some people, but we didn't roll this up. We just chose it.
No, we won't. And, we won't 100. We're if we were on top of our shit, this would have been episode 52, but you know.
Exactly. And we're going to do, we're each going to play 10 random games or so from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're both going to play Cheetah Man.
Because how can you not?
Or Cheetah Man for as long as we can. Even though Cheetah Man, you can only actually get to the third level and it stops moving. I'm looking forward to exploring this infamously bad game.
Me too.
What can people do to help out, Cole?
Well, if people want to support us, we are only able to do the show weekly because of the Patreon campaign. We've been doing it weekly for over a year now, and it's been a fantastic time. I feel like the show has gotten better since then, too. And it's only possible because of that Patreon. So go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Kick us a couple bucks a month. It goes a long way towards helping us out.
Absolutely. We really appreciate it. And if you can't kick us any money, just tell people who you think would like it. Mm-hmm. If you don't think they would like it, don't tell them about it. So like if they're just like, somebody's like, man, I fucking love Bert's Dinosaurs. Like, I really want an in-depth, you know, exploration of the lore and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't send them.
No. You're going to make them upset.
Yeah. And then they're going to call us out.
Yeah. We can't be held responsible for that. That's on you.
Yeah. We're going to call us fucking idiots for not knowing. So we don't want that. So just if you think it's up their alley.
Mm-hmm.
And Umbasa,
Umbasa, thank you.